the popularity of opera in the United States, mm-hmm. how does that compare to European countries?
Oh, gosh, it was totally different. You know, it's more of a... Europe. In Europe, you're a household name. The football players and the actresses are in America. I got in a taxi. I was even just starting out in Italy. I was getting ready to do one of the cities there in Italy. And the taxi driver, once he found out I was an aspiring opera singer, I was like gold to him. He was like, oh, my God, and this and that. And they just, and I remember singing there, like at the big arena in Verona. They practically picked me up on a carpet. And once they heard me do Aida, and then when you walk in the restaurant, they're clapping. And they, it's a whole nother thing. That's their language, and they just appreciate it. And they thank you for doing their music and keeping it in high esteem. And yeah, yeah.
So soccer and opera.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's just amazing about that. Being in Europe is something. Something. I was when I it was a one of the other big venues that have, like, I don't know, 15 outdoor arenas. The Verona, I did Verona. And then also the Rome Opera has their big deal that they do. And I did Aida out there. And they likened me to their callus and people. I mean, they were really appreciative. So I had a good run. A good run.
One of the reviewers called your voice huge and gorgeous. Huge and gorgeous.
Wow. Yeah. Some of the young singers now, they go, you mean you're just this tall? Because they heard my voice and they go, oh my God, I can't believe you're this small.
And how tall are you?
I'm about 5'4".
Yeah.
And they just thought I was 5'10 and big sound. They couldn't just believe that. They said, where does all that come from? But I don't know, God blessed.
Well, we see a lot of opera people that are big.
Huge. Yeah.
And we think they have to be that size.
Well, and we thought that too, opera singers. You know, you indulge yourself. Nobody.
So you're very slender now.
Yeah. Now, I'm really slender now, but I was maybe a little bit more hefty, maybe 25, 30 more pounds hefty.
Well, did you feel you
needed? But I never was huge. Yeah.
Did you think you needed that weight?
Well, I think the lifestyle was just conducive to.
Oh, yeah. Right,
you know, it's party after party after the performances. You're having dinner at 11 o'clock at night to 2 in the morning. It's just an awful thing. I mean, it's great, but you're always eating at all those hours. And so and everybody's so festive after performances. And oh my God, I had a lovely time in France, you know, with all the gorgeous food. It was just fabulous. So.
But there was a time when they thought you had to be big to really.
You don't, especially with the kind of voice that I had. I was a spinto soprano, so I sang the dramatic roles, and it does require a big sound. So you do probably need some heft, maybe. I never saw anybody skinny sing my parts. Yeah,
right.
So you have to have some kind of strength, I think.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you sang with the Met for 18 seasons.
Yes,
that was a long time.
All kinds of operas, yes.
What is your favorite opera?
People would ask me that, and I would say, it was whatever I was doing at the moment. There were so many things that I liked about different ones. I loved Puccini because you could act his operas out and sing them. And Verdi required this other finesse, and you had to imbue all kinds of sounds for Verdi, and it's hard to put them all together. You had to do dramatic coloratura and be all line singing, and it encompassed maybe 4 different kind of techniques. And his women is very few on your hand that conquer that repertory.
Mm.
It's like maybe 5 in history that have conquered that. Collis, Price, Tabaldi. And I was considered in that arena. And so it was a special blessing to be able to sing that music.
Didn't you take ballet, study ballet from time?
Oh, I did in my little OCU days. It was a well-rounded...
Do you think that helped you in your performing at
all? I also, yes, movement. In San Francisco, when they had me do fencing, I did all kind of things in my background. Yeah, but ballet, I did some dance classes. And specifically when I learned Butterfly, I studied with an actor. an Oriental actor just to do Oriental movements. And then we went through every line of my opera for me to learn to be this geisha. So I was really privileged to have one of those actors do that with me.
Are you a quick study?
Mm-hmm.
So it comes to you pretty fast. You were just winked
at. Yeah, my coach that coached all these operas with me as I was learning them, he was saying, oh, my God, you can really learn fast. So, yeah, I learned a big repertoire. And, not only did opera, see, I was a recitalist, which is totally different. It's classical music, but you're learning all the Brahms and the Schubert, and you're just standing up there with the piano and singing. I have vast amount of repertory for that, all while I was doing all these 30-some operas. Huge. I call them, like, I don't know, bigger than thesis. You know, you're learning all in these different languages. I mostly did Italian, but I did French operas. I did German, and then Spanish I sang in. So I amassed this classical repertory and recital work, and then I did also just pieces, Mendelssohn's. I did oratorios. And so I was a busy girl. Mm-hmm. I sang with the major symphonies, almost all of them, with the classical or mostly classical, recitalist things. And I did recitals in all over Japan. I don't know, New York. I just did recitals everywhere.
So recitals and opera, you like both the same?
Oh, yes, yeah. Because, and it was kind of important. I think it's kind of snub. The recital world, you know, they said, they just do opera, you know. But anyway, they have these feist amongst themselves.
Right,
and then the conductors are always happy when you can do the oratorios, because you're studied and you know music. And so it pulls on different arenas in your brain to do. So I was able to do three of those different types of things.